Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Political Conscious. This is your host, Slick Pablo Vic. It's Friday, April 28th, and I appreciate y'all being here with us on the Sports Grid Network. Thank you, everybody, who tuned in last week, and if anyone wants to hear the show, they're all archived on the website. Thank you all for tuning in today. It is a beautiful day here in Charleston, South Carolina. We are living the life, me and my guest here today, and good personal friend of mine, James King. James, how are you today?
I'm doing great, man. Kind of wondering what the hell is going on, you know. And at least we had the draft, at least we had the draft, man. You know, I mean, there has to be some good going on, you know.
Yeah, the NFL draft is a great escape for a lot of us. Everyone has the little outlet they go out to escape the harsh realities of the world. Things that we touch on and stress about so much, sometimes you got to get away from it. And for us, James, I, and Josh, who is going to be joining us a little bit later, it is the NFL draft. That is sports and the draft and seeing these young players and these young kids grow up and see all their hard work pay off, especially today in Philadelphia, the draft being held. We'll talk about all that a little bit later. It is a good escape, so I'm glad you brought that up, James, early to start off. Another usual guest of ours, Sean Hartness, not going to join us. He's actually in Spain, so we're wishing him and all his the best over there. Stay safe, and I hope you have great travels and hope you make some great memories over there. He'll join us when he comes back. Appreciate you guys all being here. Like I said, a lot of great things happening in the world, a lot of scary things happening in the world, but either way, here we are living, and being able to talk to y'all and talk to guys like James and Josh, it really is a pleasure, and it's one of the reasons why we do what we do. So, everyone out there, what are y'all thinking? What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? There are so many things that we could touch on. Politically, of course, we always want to get into it, and we might even get into a little bit about North Korea and the potential threat and also comments made by the current administration about the easiness and the difficulty of the job. But before we get into all that, I just want to talk about the NFL draft. That is something that's really important to me. And like I said earlier, all these young kids seeing their families all dressed up and there's cameras everywhere and they're getting all this attention and applause. And then seeing the USA chant. Seeing the rivalries, the heated people of Philadelphia booing the Cowboys and Giants picks. I mean, this is really what America is about. Not in a joking way, but we have the freedom to have 100,000 crazy, bonkers, drunk Eagles fans. I mean, I'm talking about the worst people on the planet Earth. Eagles fans huddled around screaming their brains off. I mean, this turned out look bigger than Donald Trump's inauguration. And you can check the facts on that, okay? Those are my words, not yours. This is a very anticipated event. Over 100,000 people showed up. Philadelphia, the city, is shut down, but we're seeing so much money, so much stimulation come into the economy there. We're also seeing all these young kids who are, what, 18, 19, 20 years old become millionaires overnight, which is scary in its own right. And, yeah, James, I would love to talk to you a little bit about the responsibilities that come with being picked in the NFL and being picked high and being picked early. And that comes before the draft and after the draft as well. And we can get into that a little bit, the politics about all this. But it is nice to see people come up, people be happy, families be happy, and all the football fans in the world are tuned in. And it really is a unique and remarkable event. And the only reason we can have it is because we live here in America. So big shout-outs to America. Shout-out to Ben Franklin, Philadelphia, the Constitutional Convention, all my boys who served on there. Big shout out to America. James, let me get some of your opinions on the draft.
Like you said, I mean, you know, it's a great opportunity for some young men to actually, you know, I mean, this is life-changing money. One of the things that I was really glad to see is, you know, I mean, we always see how these young men acknowledge their family and the things that they went through in order for them to get to this point in their lives. We also see how, you know, on the other side, you know, how young men in an instant of miscalculation or not concentrating, you know, that this can also be lost in a heartbeat. When you speak of, you know, some of the young men that have slipped down the draft board due to some type of run-in with society, whether they've paid their debt or not. You know, this is the National Football League, and it does, it is somewhat of a dictatorship, so you have to follow the rules of the commissioner. And, you know, I really think, you know, we've seen this process take place throughout the years. And I think it's, you know, for those that make it through the draft, it's, you know, something to look back on, memories for your family. I really wanted to give a big shout out to the young man that brought his son up there. I thought that was the highlight of the last decade. It was just so fun to see it. And like everybody refers to the Lion King, and you know, he wrapped him up in the orange Bronco jersey. It was a very heartfelt moment for me. And you know, the old man doesn't you know, admit to any tears or nothing like that, but it was a very heartfelt moment. And you know, like you say, only in America could you know, this happen.
Yeah, that was a great moment. Garrett Bowles, offensive tackle, being taken by the Denver Broncos, and he has a great connection with Denver as well, bringing his son with him onto the draft stage when he took the picture with Roger Goodell. It really was a heartfelt moment. And, you know, my girlfriend was watching the draft with us, and she even commented on it, and I think everyone was a fan of that. So that was a very good moment. Are we joined by Josh? Is Josh with us here?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, just let me know if Josh McCorder joins us, another good friend of ours, a panelist usually here on with us, and a draft expert, in my opinion, because he has a lot of these picks nailed down early. He loves keeping up with those things, and he has a great scout on his players, so hopefully he'll join us here shortly. But I want to take a moment and comment on something you were talking about, James, talking about the decision-making of a lot of these players. Now, I don't know about if the audience knows how painstaking a process the draft is. There's a lot of evaluation, a lot of scouting, kind of like if you're going through an interview process at a job, only it's magnified because they look at everything. They look at your injury history. They look at your medical history. They look at who you're friends with. They look at your social media, deep into your social media. They look at your character issues. They drug test you. They go through extreme lengths of vetting. I mean, more extreme than our government goes through. And that's not just a joke on our current administration. That's every administration that we've ever had. More vetting goes into our NFL players than goes into our public officials. So it's very hard to keep your draft stock up, to keep your value high, and to be drafted as high as possible in the NFL draft. And one of the examples I want to give is Gerrion Conley, a young man who many consider to be maybe the second best corner in the draft to be taken in the top 15 picks, which assures him millions of dollars. However, shortly before the draft took place, a couple of days before, allegations of sexual harassment and rape were alleged against him, and the investigation hasn't gone through. He hasn't been officially charged of anything. And yet, he went from being a top 15 pick to falling all the way into the late first round, which is a surprise he even went there. People thought he was going to fall off the first round completely. And as a law student, I think about due process, and I think about innocent until proven guilty. And then on the other side of me, I recognize this problem that we have in this country with domestic abuse and just physical violence in general and how we're so desensitized to it. So I see both sides of the coin here, but I want to ask you, James, what do you think about the due process issues at play and the fact that these kids are losing out on millions of dollars, on losing out on supporting their families and achieving that liberty that they are entitled to here in America. And in some instances, it's false allegations. Sometimes it's warranted. And how do teams balance that? What would you look at? I mean, if you are the Steelers organization, you're a big fan of the Steelers, how do you know when to draft this player? How do you know when it's the right thing to do? Are you willing to take that risk on a character person?
Well, I mean, you know, it always, you know, boils down to perception. You know, when you have some guys, you know, on the that seem to have an agenda rather than you know, judging the kid on his achievements. Again, I go back to Mr. Mixon. And it's a very good example of what you're talking about. I mean, you know, here's a man a young man that, you know, his atrocity or whatever you want to call it was committed 3 years ago. He set out a year at school. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He actually paid his debt to society. But kind of like the Ray Rice incident, because of the violence, you know, that we saw, that was actually shown, you know, time after time on the security tape, even though this young lady, you know, happened to strike first, you know, saying that this was, you know, gave him the right to do what he did. But it did have something to do with the way that he was charged and the way that they were both sentenced. Like I said, you have these perceptions where you have these young men, something happens, and it's held against them not only through their college career, but it spills over into their employment. And since it's an at-will employer, you know, I mean, this is the way it functions. I mean, you have a players' union and whatnot, and this is also where I think you know, the players' union should have. Should be involved in part of the process of interviewing these young men, and, you know, maybe they should do background checks on it as well. The NFL is strictly I can't say strictly, but like most sports, it doesn't matter about the actual incident or innocent until proven guilty, because you know, this is an employer, and he can say that doesn't factor into you know, his decision, you know, I mean, it's something that you can't, you know, say in concrete one way or the other whether they did or they didn't. The only thing you could do is go by their word. And, you know, it seems like another way that it's a double-edged sword is that they not only get to be jury, but they also get to be judge, because they decide your future. And, you know, just like giving a man a criminal sentence, it can change his life either way, for the good or the bad.
And that's absolutely right, James. And thinking about the decision-making process and discipline, how it's done in the NFL. Roger Goodell, he imposes the sanctions, and then if you want to appeal those sanctions, then that appeal goes to Roger Goodell. He's the arbitrator in the situation. So there is a lot of questions about how the process is handled in that instance, and I want to harp on that a little bit more, but before we get into that, I do want to introduce one new panelist we have, James, and I want to it's a great honor to have this person here with us. Good introduction would be we have been friends for a very long time, a great intellectual mind, great economic mind, and a great football mind, and a fellow Steelers fan for you, James, so he's got that going. Michael Kastner. Michael Kast, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you great. He's coming from, where are you, in Troy, Alabama?
Yeah, I'm in Troy, Alabama right now. I don't think Troy's been, I don't think our boy's been taken yet. Antonio Garcia.
Yeah, Garcia, he should be going here soon. He should be going here soon. But we kind of got a trifecta geographically going. I'm in Charleston. Mike is in Troy, Alabama. And James, you're over there in San Diego. So we got a nice little distance covered here.
And Josh is here also.
Josh McCorder, Josh, you here with us too?
What's happening?
Oh, wow, listen to that. I know what's going on over there. Well, hey.
Josh is there, but he's not there.
Great panel here with us, and we got a great show lined up for anybody here listening. And I was talking to James a little bit about this, Cash. I'll come to you. I'm going to rephrase the question a little bit. We're talking about how all these kids who are getting drafted tonight, I mean, they are kids, they're 20 years old, are becoming millionaires and how they need to start being responsible and making good decisions and all that. But I want to talk about something, a precursor to that, which is NCAA athletes, college football players that are getting drafted. The only difference between them on the college field and them on the NFL field is they walk across that stage like it's freaking graduation at College of Charleston or something. Do you think that college students, college athletes should get paid?
Yeah, I think that they should get paid. It's more complicated than that, though, because the NCAA, they function as a cartel. Therefore, they have complete control over collegiate players. So there's only, in a sense, you can look at it like a FIFA organization where they have this overarching power over these players. To the extent that I would like to see individuals have more power over themselves and not have to, you know, depend on certain, like, just bare necessity, like for school allocation, because, you know, it's not a lot they get. They might get $20,000, but it's, you know, after books, after tuition, you know, it gets eaten up really fast. So I do think, to a certain extent, these players deserve a market. Whether that is actually on the football field or off the football field is another good question. Because not only do they not get paid for their action on the football field, but they don't get paid for merchandise sales or stuff like that. So there's a couple things that could help players out and at the same time not hurt the NCAA too much.
I mean, the NCAA is a billion-dollar business. They make all this money. Josh, I mean, listen, these guys are literally – look at Joey Bosa. He was a top 10 pick last year, great defensive end. We knew he was going to be a good player. He sat out all year. He joined the team at, like, week four, and he was balling, like, out the gate with no training camp, no practice or anything. And they're saying, oh, this guy's an amateur, and he doesn't deserve to get paid. What is your thought on this?
I think Joey Bosa did the right thing. Looking back on it, you could easily criticize him, but when he showed up, he was ready to play. However that was possible, I don't know, but he showed up and he was getting sacks. So, I mean, I think he deserved to get paid from that point forward. If he wanted to hold out, I think that sort of makes a statement itself. Maybe the team could have helped him out a little bit, but that's sort of the nature of the game, negotiations.
And speaking of getting sacks, Baltimore Ravens, a team known for their defense, has taken Alabama Crimson Tide linebacker Tim Williams, who fell pretty far in the draft. Some people considered him late first-round pick. Now getting him in the third round, Josh, I know you have done a lot of scouting on Tim Williams, on the linebackers coming out of Alabama, along with Reuben Foster and Ryan Anderson. I mean, what is your thought? Isn't this Tim Williams pick the perfect Ravens type of player?
He is, Vic, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm really surprised that it took him this long to go. A lot of people had him as a potential late first-rounder, as you mentioned, early second-rounder. I know in some of my early mocks, I had him going to Pittsburgh, and then I just felt that the T.J. Watt, you know, it was such a better fit that it kind of ended up working itself out. But I still figured that by now Williams would have been off the board. But that's kind of been the story of this draft, is that there have been, you know, we talked a lot about the depth of the draft leading up to it, and here we are going through the draft, and not only is there plenty of depth for teams to pick from, but a lot of high-quality talent has been dropping. Kevin King falling to where he did. He was rumored to be going at the end of the first. Cam Robinson, who was at one point regarded as the number one offensive lineman in the draft, didn't go until the second. Forrest Lamp, who many people considered the current best lineman, even though he's a guard, he didn't go until the second. It's been wild, to say the least. But I would like to mention something here, that, you know, kind of going back to what y'all were just talking about here in regards to the NCAA. And there's two things. Number one, there are only two organizations in the world that I consider to be, well, three technically. There are only three organizations that I consider more corrupt than the IOC, and that's the United States Congress, FIFA, and the NCAA. So take that as you will. And in regards to the Joey Bosa situation, I think a lot of people did not realize that that holdout wasn't about getting more money overall. It was about the structure of the contract, because the Chargers themselves do contracts completely different from everybody else in the league. And the reason the Chargers do that is because they want to save themselves from another Ryan Leaf. So they wanted to pay half of the guaranteed money at the beginning of his first year, instead of all up front, as everybody else in the league would do. Joey Bosa was like, no, you guys are literally the only people in the league that do this. I will not sign a contract unless you pay me all of my guaranteed money in year one, like everybody else in the league does. And that was where the big split was. You know, the Chargers would regularly try and make it seem like, oh, we're offering them the most money we've ever offered. So, you know, at anything at this position, but what they weren't explaining to the general public was that we're trying to screw these guys, really. And they're not trying to screw, but they're trying to protect themselves. But in the process, they're screwing them over, and that was a big issue with that. And I think that it's important. It's just like the Joe Mixon thing. A lot of people were surprised that Mixon was drafted. I'm not surprised. I'm actually supportive of him being drafted, because the fact that he sat down with Amelia Molitor, who I believe it's also just as important for us to know the victim's name as much as it is the attacker, sat down with her, they talked things out, worked it through, she forgave him. If the victim's good, I'm good. But there are people, you know, very similar to the Joey Bosa situation, that are misrepresenting it. I've had actually conversations with Panthers fans that swear up and down that she started the whole thing, she put hands on him first, that she called him the N-word, all these things, and it's, they completely ignore that she was sexually accosted outside, that they then, I can go on and on, but if there's one thing that I would like for people to realize about when it comes to the draft, it's the same thing that there is with pretty much anything else. We all make mistakes, and so long as people are truly sorry for what they've done, they should receive a second chance, and I love how the draft allows for that.
That is one of the bright notes of the draft and one of those tear-jerking parts of it. And listen, I'm an Eagles fan. It's not a secret. And my favorite player of all time is Michael Vick, and I'm not ashamed to say that because I know his past, but I also know that he became a leader. He grew as a man and as a player and became a better human being because of the mistakes he made in the past. Everyone is going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. And we got two Steelers fans here. They got guys like Martavis Bryant on the roster who finally got reinstated. And they're hoping he doesn't make a mistake. And speaking of mistakes, James, let me come to you with this. Should a guy like Martavis Bryant lose out on all this money and all this playing time just because he's smoking pot?
In a lot of ways, I'm really the wrong person to be asking this. I mean, you know, you might as well be asking, you know, D'Angelo Williams the same question. But to put it in perspective, we have a lot of conflicting laws concerning marijuana. Now, you know, what if a guy plays for Seattle or Denver or down here in San Diego, L.A., you know, now Las Vegas, you know, states where medical marijuana is allowed. So now, you know, you have the NFL with their set of rules. You have the federal government with their set of rules. And then depending upon which state that you live in, you're either allowed recreational or medical. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, as some of the players have noted, you know, I guess, you know, you could also point to some Army veterans even. Cannabis or marijuana has proved to be more effective than opioids, I mean that's just a fact, you know. So I don't think you know, a guy like Martavis Bryant or any of those guys. I believe Pennsylvania hasn't passed the law yet. I think it's in the Senate or state whatever it is, but they haven't actually passed the law yet. But with this current administration also, you know, lashing out, you know, once again calling marijuana the gateway drug and this and that, you know, once again, you know, we're being touted out there as, you know, it's almost like reefer madness, for those of you that are familiar with that classic. You know, it's like, you know, we've taken a step back, just like, you know, in a lot of our medical solutions. So I think, you know, football players especially, I mean, you know, I don't think that they should be penalized for using marijuana. Because it's not a performance-enhancing drug. I mean, you know, most guys, you know, you want to pull up with a bowl of ice cream and a glass of milk and some cookies. You know, you aren't out there, you know, trying to go and fight nobody or shoot anybody or anything like that. You know, it even helps you with anger management as well as appetite. So, I think this is a big to do. About nothing, and it's one of the things, you know, that perhaps, once again, the players' union should possibly try to see if they can't make some alterations on that policy. But another thing, I wanted to ask Vic, and you know, not just you, but to everyone in the panel, how much do you think the Hernandez whole thing what effect do you think it's had on this year's draft when you look at how some of these guys that are having issues are falling so far off the leaderboard?
I think the correlation you're trying to make here is that a guy like Aaron Hernandez, who undoubtedly was talented on the football field. I mean, this guy could play tight end, receiver, or running back. We saw him play running back against the Denver Broncos in a playoff game, and then was, you know, found guilty of killing somebody and then ended up killing himself in jail. I think the correlation I'm trying to make is, yeah, he's a talented player, but these character concerns, is it really worth it to take this player when you don't even know if they're going to be available for you, regardless of the long term, even for the short term, when we're talking about suspensions and things like that. So you're absolutely right, and we see the effects of gang affiliation and bad company. And I think that teams vet it so well. They have, do the research so deeply that they understand when there's those type of problems, as well as attitude, atmosphere, personal hobbies that could be detrimental. I think teams are now way more thorough, because not just of guys like Aaron Hernandez, but look at DeMarcus Russell. I mean, this guy went number one overall, got addicted to lean, and, you know, grew by about 100 pounds. So there's plenty. And then look at Ryan Leaf. I mean, that guy was addicted to freaking pain pills, breaking into people's houses, trying to rob them of their pills. There's always going to be a history of those players who are so talented, but it's something about them, their decision-making or some kind of personal habit is going to sway them from reaching their full potential. And the key is to get those guys you know are going to work hard, do the right thing, make those right decisions, and not put themselves or the team in jeopardy's way. So it's like an investment, and I'll come to cash when I ask this next question when we're talking about investments. You look at every aspect of it. You analyze whether or not it's going to pay off in the long term, the short term, the midterm, all those aspects of it. You see what you need, and you pull the trigger. Now, Cash, I know you extensively researched everything involving economics and business decisions. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what the Browns are doing. They are, and Josh, I know you're really passionate about this too, so I'll come to you as well. But let me come to Mike Cash first.
Okay, you're coming to the Steelers fan about the Browns.
I'm coming to a Steelers fan about the Browns. You can be as sarcastic as you want about this, okay? But tell me, hold on, tell me, let me ask you this first. Objectively speaking, can you say they're having an A-plus draft right now?
I think that Jabril Peppers' selection is just a – I don't like that selection. I don't think he's a great player. I think he's an overvalued player. Maybe that's just me, but any player that claims they can play safety and linebacker and is really versatile, but then you look at the tape and they struggle to play any of the positions, I hesitate to give them an A-plus on that that selection specifically. The first selection, I'll give an A-plus. The Kaiser selection, I don't like that one either. I just don't see where the Browns are going. If you're not going to take an elite quarterback, why bother trying to introduce another mediocre quarterback into your system? It's almost so I see what they're trying to do, and I think any team with five picks in the first however many selections is going to look like they have a good draft as well. So, to that extent, I guess they have made good decisions in this draft, but looking at them as a franchise, I can't say that they've made the most wise decisions year over year, and I think it's more importantly to make decisions year over year than in any given year, because only one year of good decision-making isn't going to win you a championship. It sort of takes a Patriots-type system where you're in for 20 years at a time, rather than, you know, I'm going to fire my head coach, I'm going to hire a new general manager, I'm going to reshuffle a deck that's, you know, not so good. You just need to build your deck. So maybe that's what they're trying to do. You know, I'm not really hopeful for the Browns. I hope they continue to be as bad as they always are, because I am a Steelers fan. But I'll let Josh jump in, tell me what he thinks of the Browns.
I think that we have witnessed the best first round ever by a team in the history of the draft. I have been floored by every pick the Browns have made. I can only sing praises, and that's something very rare for me. I can usually find something to nitpick about. The only thing that I can find a nitpick about in regards to the Browns is the Jabril Peppers pick, and to be honest, to me, to nitpick at Jabril Peppers, you know, but where they got him at, at that point you're getting, you know, we're getting finicky and trying to argue a point of value that, of course, it's very subjective. But you know, Jabril Peppers, that was a Justin Gilbert replacement. If y'all remember, Justin Gilbert was supposed to be an athletic freak. He was supposed to be the corner that could play position. He could also move to safety and maybe even return it if they need them to. Turned out to be a total bust, just like their other first rounder, Johnny Manziel. Now they got the Moneyball crew in their front office. I can't even begin to express how amazing they've done. When they moved up to pick David Njoku out of Miami, Vic was there with me. I thought that they were moving up to pick Kaiser. I figured that they wanted to get DeShone Kaiser in the first round, so they had the ability to take the fifth-year option on him should they like him. But what did they do? They went and got the number two tight end, to some people the number one tight end, who I think Njoku's, 20, 21 years old? He's still a baby. And he's an athletic freak. So, I mean, they've got Garrett, Peppers, and Njoku. Their first round, all three of these players are athletic monsters. With Peppers being the only one who isn't – when I look at him, I don't see the football instincts. I agree with Cass on that one. It's hard to – but I think that's more so being a victim of his environment and having to play all those positions at Michigan. I think maybe if he gets put in a position, he sticks there – give him a year at strong safety, or give him, then move around a nickel. But he can be very much a Deion Buchanan-like player. I really, really, really like what the Browns have done. I can't sing enough praises. And just to throw this fact out there that we saw last night, leading into the draft, the Cleveland Browns had 11 picks, two of them in the first round, and a rookie pool that was going to cost them approximately $14.3 million. Now, let's ignore the fact that the Cleveland Browns set a precedent in the NFL by legitimately buying a draft pick. That's something that you really only see in, in the NBA, you hear about in baseball, but you don't hear about it in the NFL. The Browns set the market value on draft picks. So after they did all that, They didn't go for need, and I very much approve of that. Don't go chasing, the number 50 player because he's the number one quarterback when you could take the number one player that happens to be maybe a safety. They've done absolutely amazing. I'm so impressed. I am just so impressed. The one thing that I'm questioning the most that they've done this draft is release Gary Barnage. I thought that they could have been running two tight end sets up in Cleveland to help along whatever quarterback they happen to throw in there. So, I mean, literally the thing that I can come away from this is you guys already cut the dude that you just drafted a replacement for. I mean, if I had to give him a grade, S+, put them on that Japanese structure.
I have to agree with you there. And you guys play fantasy football with me. Gary Barnage was a dude I rode with pretty hard 2 years ago. And a little bit of a disappointing season last year, but that was the whole Browns team last year, was it not?
Hey, man, I understand because he was with us. I remember when we had Barnage in Carolina with John Fox, and unfortunately, John Fox doesn't know how to throw a tight end. So I was happy to see him go to Cleveland where he would get an opportunity, but it was one of those bittersweet things. But again, just bravo, and there have been so many great picks. I think the only draft that I'm super disappointed in is Chicago's.
Yeah, everyone seems to hate what Chicago did, and it's just funny laughing at Chicago fans because I always have the same image in my mind. There's stereotypes for NFL fans that people don't know out there. Eagles fans are always just like the worst people on the planet Earth, hammered, will, be rude at the most inopportune time. Roger Goodell couldn't even get a word off today at the draft because the Eagles fans were booing him so hard. He was bringing Jaws out there. Maybe he thought they would boo less. They were booing just as hard. He brought the military out there. They booed when Roger Goodell spoke. And then anything else, they cheered. So those are Eagles fans. Seahawks fans are starting to get on my nerves a little bit. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jim.
Excuse me. I just had to come back from – I was gagging for all this love given to the Cleveland Clowns. What in the hell are you guys? What are you guys talking about? Come on, man. They're still going to be last in the AFC North. They're still at the end of this year. They're going to get rid of Hugh Jackson and start all over again. They took a first round pick who has 12 sacks and 8 of them against division. You might as well say division two schools. I mean, come on now. I mean, it's nice to talk about the Cleveland. the only precedent that the Cleveland Browns set is losing every year. That's the only and that's the only precedent that organization is going to have, because they're a subpar organization, and you got at least two teams in the AFC North that's always that they're never going to beat on a consistent basis. Meaning hey, come on. I'm gagging over here. Please, give me a break. The Clowns are not doing anything. The only precedent that they're setting is that they don't know how to pick up a quarterback. They don't know how to pick for need. And if ever there was a team that needed to go for need, it definitely has. I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to open up with Osweiler and RG3? Come on.
Yeah, I can't. Actually, I'm not going to argue with anything you just said. That was hilarious. And as we're winding down the bottom of our show here, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I want to thank our guests for being here, James, Michael Kastner, Josh McCorder. I'm going to give you all a minute here at the end to say a little something, but let me just thank everybody from the bottom of my heart for tuning in each and every week, listening to us, for tuning into the Sports Crib. They have great programming throughout the week. Thursdays, they do a great sports show. Sometimes I'm a part of. I'm about to be taking exams here. It's pressure time. Got the bar coming up here soon, so might be hearing maybe a little bit less from me, but I just want to assure everybody to stay positive out there, do the best they can, and always remember that we're in this thing together. We're going to keep spreading that positive message. We're going to keep doing the best we can to make the most of our lives, and that's what it's all about. And speaking of all that inspirational talk, the pride of Troy, Michael Kastner,
yes,
and your boy, Tony Garcia, getting drafted, finally.
He's drafted?
The New England Patriots.
No way. Are you kidding me?
He just went to the New England Patriots
in
85.
No.
So as I break that news to you, and as you both go to the same school at Troy University, where you learn so much about economics, and I hope you join us in the future to share a little bit of your knowledge about economics, as you have been published by reputable sources, and I really want you to be a part of our panel here in the future. And as I break news to you that one of your favorite college players is going to a team you absolutely dread, let me get your final thoughts on the night, Michael.
Yeah, well, I'm happy that he's a millionaire now. That's good. He's a good tackle. He's quick off his feet. I would like to see a more player-friendly draft in the future. I don't really know how to make it possible, but obviously you've noticed that salaries have come down drastically, since the Sam Bradford type deals. I'm not saying that those deals were fair, but I do think there is a better market for incoming players than what they're currently being paid. So I would like to see more money coming to the new players.
And I'm always for more money for the people. So thank you for joining us, Michael Kastner, Pride of Troy University. Hold it down in Troy, Alabama for us. You know we love you here on the East Coast. Thanks for being here with us. And another final word from our good friend. Thanks for joining us, Josh. Thanks for having me and Sarah over last night. Josh McCorder, reporting live from Folly Beach. Your final thoughts on the night, sir?
First and foremost, I'm so sad that Antonio Garcia found his way to New England. I had him pegged to the Panthers at number 98. But we were able to go get Deshaun Hall, who was on the other side of that line, from Myles Garrett. So we got our pass rusher. We got our O-line depth. We got run CMC, and we got Curtis Samuel. That was the only pick. I was a little confused with those first two picks, but I just want to – this, here's my final thought, and I want the rest of you to share this as well. I want you to think about third and goal, probably on the 6-yard line. Cam's out there. We got Kelvin Benjamin out wide. We got Devin Funchess on the other side. We got a 6'5", 245-pound wide receiver over there. We got a 6'4", 230-pound receiver over there. We got 6'6", Greg Olsen chilling, one of the top tight ends in the game. And then we got Cam back there in the backfield. And on one side, he's got Christian McCaffrey. On the other side, he's got Curtis Samuel. So how are you going to defend the triple option from those two
you know, with those two back there with Cam. And what are you going to do when Cam's like, you know what, let me go ahead and motion one of you guys out to the line. Oh, I got a mismatch. Let me just dump that off real quick. I just want you to think about what it's going to have to be like for defenses to have to deal with all that man ready to just pound into the end zone, because I'm waiting. I'm so excited.
It's nice to hear you're excited about pounding men into the end zone, Josh. And you're absolutely right, though. With the type of offense, the exotic offense the Panthers run, all those reverses and all those little screens, you lose Ted Ginn, but you get Curtis Samuel, Christian McCaffrey. I mean, I think that is a very dangerous. And you'll have John Stewart as well, so don't forget. I think you guys are very dangerous here in the future. Just need to shore up that offensive line. That's all that really needs to happen. Thank you for joining us, Josh. Always love having you. I'll see you next week, man. And I hope you guys have a good end to this draft. Finally, my last panelist and my favorite, James King. Thank you so much, man, for having us each and every week. And your final thoughts on the night, sir.
Well, big shout-out to Mr. Derek Rivers, outside linebacker from Youngstown State. He was also taken by the Patriots. To kind of put it in perspective, I actually played ball with his grandfather, and one of his uncles pitched for the Cardinals. So, been watching this game a long time. When you start seeing people that you know, when you start seeing their grandkids on TV. But anyway, big shout out to the Rivers family, and thank you guys, you know, for letting me put my interjections in every Friday night, and I look forward to talking to you all soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy, isn't it? With Derek Rivers going to the Patriots and Tony Garcia going to the Patriots, all these players we love, and they're connected to going to our absolute enemy, and that's because the Patriots are so good at what they do. They're so good at what they do, and they're champions for a reason. And, you know, I don't want to get on too much about these players that I know James hates so much and these teams that James hates so much. So let me just end by saying thank you to everybody who listened in. Like I said, the draft is an amazing time for these young kids, and we want to give them as much celebration and recognition as they deserve, because they really do sacrifice a lot and grind out of difficult circumstances and commit to being great people, to be taken in the place they're taken today. So they're doing the best with what they have. We're trying to do the same thing. Appreciate y'all being here with us, and I'll see y'all next week. Have a good one.
Have a good one, guys.